Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of Annapurna Swadisht Limited. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, you may click on the Q&A tab to ask a live question. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Annapurna Swadisht Limited was incorporated in 2015 by Mr. Shriram Bagla and Mr. Ritesh Shah, and is one of the fastest-growing FMCG companies in Eastern India, dedicated to making quality and affordable food products accessible across the rural heartlands of Eastern and Northeastern India. With state-of-the-art facilities in Asansol, Siliguri, Gurab, Dudhlagad, and Indore, and support from five white-label partners, the company ensures large-scale efficient production. Let us now begin with the introduction of the management team. We have with us today Mr. Shriram Bagla, Chairman and Managing Director of the company, Mr. Ritesh Shah, Whole-time Director, Mr. Pawan Jaiswal, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Manoj Sharma, Whole-time Director at Annapurna Swadisht Limited and Madhur Confectioners Private Limited. I would now like to request Mr. Shriram Bagla, Chairman and Managing Director, to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bagla.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone who attend this investor con call. We are very happy that we had a great quarter, and most of it, we have completed our migration from SME platform to main platform. So, as other companies with a good corporate governance, we are now in a process to start the journey whereby we can address the investors' queries quarter on quarter. So, I assure all the stakeholders that from now onwards, every quarter on, we will do this kind of an investor con call so that everybody can get a good amount of clarity on what management is doing and what your company is about to do according to the laws, bylaws set by the SEBI. Now, I would request Mr. Ritesh Shah to take over the chair and answer the queries of the investors. Ritesh, you are audible.
Good morning, everybody. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the first conference call of Annapurna Swadisht Limited. We are all grateful that you have taken time out of your schedule to be here today. I would just briefly make a presentation. I would request somebody from Fortuna to put the presentation on the screen. So, a brief snapshot of the company. We are amongst the fastest-growing FMCG companies in Eastern India, and over the last six years of our operation, we've managed to consolidate our position as a leading primes manufacturing company over here, with over 1,000 distributors now working with us. We are selling approximately 3.3 million packets a day. So, that's a huge accomplishment for us, and we are confident that going forward, these numbers are only going to get better. If we see a comparison from the last three years, we have increased our manufacturing facilities. Just the numbers wouldn't justify it. It's not only three to five. It's the amount of square feet that we occupy, which has almost doubled. We are having a manufacturing capacity of approximately 180 metric tons per day. Our product categories have grown from 6 to 13. We have about 180 SKUs right now, with 250 stockists and 1,150 distributors. We are reaching a retail touchpoint of 8.5 lakh retail outlets, with presence across 15 states, but mostly concentrated in Eastern India, with 33 lakh packets being sold every day. This year, we completed a revenue of 521 crores on a consolidated basis and achieved a PAT of 30 crores. We have evolved from being just a primes company in 2020 to now having a portfolio spanning namkeen, biscuits, cake, sweets, noodles, and confectionery. So we are basically looking to, you know, position ourselves as a collection of brands. So one distribution network catering to, you know, the Eastern India market, robust distribution, which basically helps us push various categories of products in the mass consumption segment. We are focused on the 5 to 20 rupee segment. And we've successfully managed to crack that business model. And after our initial success in Fryams and Namkeen, we are now focused on, repeating the same performance with our noodles and biscuit category, both having the potential to be a 250 crore business annually. And, if we look at the individual financial performance of the company, I would like to introduce Pawan to the call. Pawan is our CFO, and he can just briefly explain the numbers to you, after which I'll take you through the rest of the presentation.
So, hello everyone. This quarter we have generated revenue of 127 crore in consolidated basis with EBITDA of 21 crore and PAT of 9.81 crore. If you see the standalone revenues, we have generated revenue of 108 crore with EBITDA of 17 crore and PAT of 7.97 crore. So we have achieved a growth of 17.74% in consolidated basis in our revenue, and 21% growth in our EBITDA, and 50% growth in our PAT. So now over to you, Ritesh sir. Hello, Ritesh sir.
Ritesh sir, we are not able to hear you.
Hello. So now we are ready for Q&A session.
Yeah. You can hear me now?
Yes sir, we can hear you now.
Yeah, so good quarter for us. This the first quarter happens to be one of the slowest for us, for both the companies, for Madhur as well as Annapurna. So from here onwards, things are only going to get better. So, speaking about our journey, the company was started in 2016 as a partnership firm, and it was into manufacturing of snacks products for other brands. In 2020, we basically, metamorphosed the company into being our own brand company. And the first fryer was installed in Asansol, with which we started our packaging. The Annapurna brand was launched at the 5 rupee price point. And in the first year of our operation, we achieved about 13 crores revenue. Over the next 2 years, we expanded our distribution channel. We got into other product categories, and we commissioned our Siliguri plant in 2022. In 2022 March, in September, we did our SME IPO. We listed on the SME Emerge. In 24, we acquired Madhur Confectionery. Completed the acquisition last year in November. And now we have also migrated to the main platform. And this year we acquired Andre Agro, which is into the manufacturing of soya chunks, pasta, vermicelli, and 3D puppet, all ready-to-eat kitchen item, ready-to-cook kitchen items. And this is a very big segment we are looking at very aggressively, expanding into this. We hope to generate a revenue of about 60 to 70 crores this year and double the revenue over the next 2 years in Andre Agro. So the board comprises right now of Shriram, me, and Manoj. We are the whole team directors, and on the promoter category, Mr. Chandan Ghosh is the independent director, ex-Nestle. Mrs. Rashna Yadav is a senior HR executive, and Mr. Harish is an ex-Britannia Unilever a senior executive. So we have a strong independent board, who also provide very insightful, and meaningful context to our conversations. So if you look at our business model, we are focused on the 5 to 10 rupee price points. That is where the mass markets are, and the rural distribution is completely catering to that price segment. We have a product portfolio of about 188 SKUs, which gives us a very broad reach of the market. And we've managed to create a distribution channel that penetrates the deep rural markets and semi-urban markets. Now, one of the strong points of the company was the Madhur acquisition, which we did, which we initiated in 24 and completed in 26. So, in 25. So, this company was an existing unit in Indore. They were one of the leading manufacturers of lollipops. And we acquired this company at a valuation of 180 crores, which was funded through a QIP, which was done in 2024. Now, Madhur has added a lot of synergy to the operations of the company. There is a very strong opportunity with this company to be at about 250 to 300 crores over the next 2 to 3 years. And we have Manoj with us right now. He has been leading the effort from our end to take Madhur to the next level. And any questions that you have relating to Madhur, he'll be happy to answer during the Q&A session. So this is the state-of-the-art facility that we have in Indore. And now the company has diversified only from lollipops to chocolate candies as well, which is showing a lot of potential. Andre Agro is our latest acquisition. It's a relatively smaller facility, but a huge potential with this company's volume. So it's one of the more recognized brands locally, manufacturing soya chunks. This company has a revenue potential of about 120 crores with a 6 crore PAT, that can be generated from this operation. Again, this is a product which syncs very well with our distribution base, which caters mostly to the rural markets, where soya chunks happens to be the main source of protein for, a large portion of the population. We've also ventured into healthy snacking now, and we have launched a brand called Offside, which with Saurav Ganguly as the brand ambassador. And we are targeting products that are, catering to the urban, more health-conscious segment with products like banana chips, makhana, and diet chidwa. So these are some products that are there, some of our leading products. Noodles, we have our Zimba brand, which is doing very well in the northeastern markets. In the hills market, we are confident
Ritesh, sir, sorry to interrupt you, but we are unable to hear you. Your voice is breaking. Ritesh, can you hear us? Participants, please stay connected.
Yeah. So now speaking about you know what the company intends to do over the next couple of years, I mean to put it roughly under in a numerical perspective, we are targeting a revenue in excess of 1,000 crore and with a PAT margin of roughly 8 to 9%. That is something which we hope to achieve over the next few years. And some of the strategies that we have taken in order to achieve this objective is that now we are targeting a segment of the market that has remained out of our ambit for a long time now. So we are emphasizing now on the brand building exercises, and we are entering. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
I'm audible. Yeah. So basically, we're targeting a pricing-led penetration in the market, and premiumization is going to give us that additional margin that we are looking for. And with the increasing raw material prices, the way forward happens to be, catering to the segment that is between the 10 and 50 rupee. If we look at the financial performance of the company over the last few years, we have grown considerably from having a revenue of 160 crores to 520 crores last year. Our profits have also grown exponentially from 13 crores to 73 crores on a consolidated basis. Our EBITDA is at, we're targeting an EBITDA of 100 crores over the next, next year or the year after that. And a PAT of 30 crores, which has grown from 7 crores in 2023. Our profitability margin has also improved significantly from having a PAT margin of 4.5% to approximately 6% now. EBITDA margins have grown from 8.5% to 14% blended, mostly due to the benefit of having Madhur with us, which is a high margin product category. So, if you put it in a nutshell, what are the strong points that we're looking at? We are a very strong regional brand, and we are leading manufacturers in certain categories. Most in France, we are one of the leading manufacturers right in Eastern India. So, we have established a very strong foothold and created a moat around our distribution. Our scalable and efficient production infrastructure, that is one of the key areas again, where we have managed to keep ourselves very nimble despite our growing size, changing our product portfolios quickly, adjusting our production according to pricing changes in the raw material. All of that has kept us profitable even during very difficult times. So the confectionery portfolio is going to yield much higher margins for us going forward, and we have a clear vision, targeting a 1100 crore top line by FY28 and a PAT in excess of 100 crores. Confectionery gives us that additional reach as well. We have still not integrated both the distribution networks, but the moment we do that, our market penetration can increase from a 400 kilometer radius from the factory to 1100 kilometer from the factory. So a large market expansion is achievable, and we are looking at a multi-channel growth acceleration. So we will be entering modern trade, the general trade, and also export markets are going to be explored in a big way right now, because again, all of these benefits are only because we have a very strong portfolio of confectionery. which makes it possible for you to logistically transport goods over longer distances. And then a strategic investment which goes into brand building of the company to create that premiumization in the brand as well as the company outlook. So next, this current year we targeting a consolidated revenue of about 750 crores with an EBITDA of 115 crores, which is pretty much in line with what we have done till now. And the year after that, definitely we hope to cross the 1000 crore top line with a PAT hitting the 100 crore mark. So if we look at our peer group comparisons, in terms of revenue, we definitely have a lot of catching up to do with our peers. But to put it in perspective, we've been in business for only 6 years, and some of these companies have been there for decades. So we've done reasonably well in terms of capturing a key market. And if you look at the EBITDA level that the companies are doing, we are almost at par with Bikaji. We are much better than what Pratap Snacks does. And we've achieved higher PAT than Pratap. Bikaji has definitely more Bikaji and Pratap. So maybe this shift to the main platform would help us unlock our valuation. And we hope to see more investor participation. And we are also planning to engage more with the analysts and the broking community in the coming years, so that our story can reach as many investors as possible. So some of our marketing activities which we do regionally. So again, thank you for everyone for being patient and listening to the presentation. I think Fortuna PR team can take over from here, and then we can go to the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please click on the Q&A tab on the panel and click on the raise hand icon. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Anupama S from Ratnatra Capital. Please go ahead. Anupama, can I request you to please unmute and proceed with your question?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yeah, okay. My question was on the revenue or top line side. Like you had given a projection of 1000 crore by FY28. So I just wanted to know, like, how are you thinking of your three businesses, like the standalone snacks business and Madhur, and also on the new acquisition of SoBest, the Andri business. So, like, what is your thought process, or how are you thinking of scaling them up?
So, Anupma, roughly, the way we look at it is basically, our Frank's business is already at a 250 crore run rate, and our Namkeen business is also doing similar numbers. So Frank's and Namkeen put together would be about 500 crores. 250 crore would be coming in from Madhur, and the balance 250 is going to be a combination of our other categories which are in the growth phase. So noodles, biscuits, and Andri Agro together should contribute the balance 250 crores. So Andri would be reaching 120 crores top line. Noodles would do about 80, and then we have biscuits which should do for 40 roundabout.
Right. But confectionery, the Madhur business is around 100 crores, right? Like, if I look into your...
When we acquired the company, it was 100 crores. This year, we are...
So this year, how much we are closing at?
FY26, we did 108 crores.
108, yeah.
Yeah. So this was a first, not even a first year, because November 25, we took over the management. So we had only about 5-6 months of operations with us.
Okay.
And this year we are at a comfortable pace to, you know, reach a number close to 150 crores.
150 or 250? 150. Can I just like push on that, like, you know, how are we looking at it? Because if I look at historical numbers of Madhur also, like last 4-5 years, they have been at this 90 to 100 range. Like, so how are we looking to scale up this confectionery business, like, as new management? Yeah.
In fact, you know, there are a lot of initiatives that have been taken. We have, for one, you know, immediately added chocolate confectionaries to the product mix.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate was not existing before.
Right.
And that is going to add a substantial amount of volume. Even the production, you know, shifts that we were utilizing initially was about 8 hours, which has now been increased. And we have a target of doing 2 shifts of 8 hours now. And a number of other things, you know, maybe Manoj can explain in more details if we have the time. But if you want other questions to be answered, then
I mean, yeah, if Manoj sir is available, we can hear
so
from him also.
Manoj, if you can just, you know, give a brief idea about how we are planning to grow the Madhur business.
That is rose that we have has immense potential, and it has not been, you know, utilized till date. So we have changed the pack size where, you know, our realization or, you know, sale price has increased. So we foresee that, you know, we did approximately 36 crores of business from rose last year, which should be around 50 crores. Because, you know, we used to sell, like, you know, in one carton there is, you know, a box of 24 pieces. We have made it 30 pieces. So number, even if, you know, the number of cartons doesn't increase, this the volume increases significantly, 25%. So apart from that, we have been able to increase, you know, price by, you know, around 1.5 to 2%. So that would give us increase of around 27%. Then we have launched rose in, you know, gift packs, which for which we are getting very good feedback. So that is also going to, you know, contribute significantly in our business. So we see rose at around 50 crores. And then, you know, we have launched a number of chocolate. We have added capacities in chocolates, molding chocolates, which was not there. And those are giving good results. So we plan to have another, you know, 15 odd crores from business of chocolates. So that adds around, you know, 30 crores of business to the total business. Apart from that, we have, you know, increased the, we have become more competitive in candy with changes, you know, few changes that we have made. So that is also giving us good business. So overall, we plan to reach around, you know, 145 to 150 crores by end of this financial year.
Right, right. That's super helpful. Also on this, on the chocolate capacity that you have added the molds, are we doing any capex for this year, or is it already done? Like the mold chocolates that we have done. Is my question clear? Or,
Manoj, sir? Manoj, can you hear us?
I think Manoj is out of network area. So just to add to this, we would require a little bit of capex to scale up the chocolate facility, which we have recently introduced. But that would all be done through internal accrual. So we are not looking for any kind of debt raise for an additional capacity for chocolate production.
How much would that be, like the capex, like number?
Not more than 5-7 crores.
Okay. And
the existing infrastructure we have ample amount of space to put all the new machineries which we would require to scale up the production. So that way, only few machines which we need to get from China, that is the only capex which is required for the scaling up.
Right. So yeah, since you mentioned debt, the debt on the balance sheet right now is around 200 crores. So are we looking to reduce this sometime in the future?
So the revenue of the company, currently is comfortable, and we are, easily servicing the debt that we have on our books. And going forward, we would be using some of our internal accruals to repay the debt also. So the fast growth of the company has come backed by, liquidity. The company has grown exponentially from 13 crores to 520 crores in 6 years' time. So most of the growth that has happened was fueled intensively by capital. So debt and equity both helped us reach where we are right now. But having said that, we are in a position now to comfortably start repaying some of our debts, because the internal accruals are available, and if we do not have any further capexes happening in the company, some of this liquidity can be utilized for the debt reduction.
That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next question is from line of Shikhar Mundra from Vivo Commercial. Please go ahead. Kindly accept the prompt.
Yeah. Hello. I'm audible.
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, what are the short-term loans and advances of 48 crore, and these long-term loans and advances of 15 crore, as on ending balance sheet 31st March?
Pawan, you can answer that.
Pawan sir, can you hear us?
You are referring to the balance sheet on March.
Yeah, the last balance sheet. So on the asset side, we have a short term loans and advances of 48 crore.
I think mostly it probably refers to that there are certain advances which we have made for land acquisition. So the company is planning a integrated facility in Siliguri, which is our 3-year project. Over the next 3 years, we plan to have a large Balaji type facility in Siliguri, which would have completely backward integration. Starting from flour mill to basin mill, and even our own lamination unit are going to be there. So we are putting the entire setup back to back integrated, in starting from milling section to extrusion to frying, packing and lamination, all together in one setup. The process has already started, and we've started making advances to landowners and land aggregators. So I think the numbers you're referring to, we are looking at acquiring about 30 acres in Siliguri.
And what would the cost of the land be for 30 acres?
It should work out to something close to about 60-65 crores.
65 crore. So the entire amount we have paid, because the short term loans and advances are 48 crore and long term are 15 crore, together they add up to 63 crores. So we have paid the entire amount of land upfront?
Not the entire amount for sure. I think there are, because once we complete the entire payment and all the paperwork is sorted out, we would go for registration of the land. So that is still pending.
Hello, Mr. Sikar.
What is the total cost of the project?
Yep. We can hear you, Pawan.
Some of our advances also include advances.
So the total cost of the project?
Advances for the sheds we have taken on rent.
No. Total, what is your cost of your project? You plan to buy a land worth 66 crore. What is the total cost of the project?
No, we can't hear you.
The land is 60 crores. The project cost would be roughly. Yeah. Am I audible?
Yeah. No.
Please go ahead and I want to know what is the total cost of the project.
Yeah. So the land and site development would cost us roughly around 70 crores, and the project cost would be in the range of 450 to 500 crores.
Have you taken the shareholders' approval for such a large expansion?
No, we would be placing the proposal in the coming AGM. The TEFR report is being prepared by SBI CAPS, and once that is done, this AGM we are presenting to the at the AGM we are looking for the approval to come in.
No, whether your company can absorb these kind of investments, because your track record does not substantiate to do that kind of investment. You have bought a Madhur. Still, you are doing. You are still not making 180 crore acquisition, I think, and you are doing about 15 crore PAT or something.
15 crore is what we are projecting.
What is the current projecting?
Current PAT in Madhur Conferences. So what would be the current PAT in Madhur Confectioners, because we have done an acquisition of 180 crores a cup. It's been more than a year.
Right.
So how do we justify this? Because what is the current PAT? Because still now we are projecting it to be 15 crores 2 years down the line. So for the 108 crores we did in Madhur this year, what was the PAT we did?
It's about 10 crores PAT.
So how do you justify your investment for an investment of 180 crore?
Yeah. So when we had acquired Madhur, we had acquired the company at an EBITDA multiple of 10 times, which was a very fair valuation. And one of the objectives at which time, our company was basically trading at a multiple of 20 times the EBITDA. So it was a very, a reasonable acquisition which we had done. But I think the problem happened post acquisition, when the QIP which we had done, the shares those shares came to the market for selling, being in the SME platform, there wasn't enough liquidity to absorb that kind of selling, and generally the market
we are not discussing about your share price, sir.
Right.
You want to know your thesis of doing business. You paid how much? What is the enterprise value you paid for your Madhur?
So that's what I'm trying to explain, 10 times multiple of EBITDA was
what is that amount? What is that amount, sir?
Madhur was doing about 18 crores EBITDA when we had acquired it, and it was acquired at 10 times the EBITDA multiple, 180 crores.
And how much was entire was equity?
No, 140 crores was equity, 50 crores, the balance 40 crores was debt.
And now you are planning to do PAT of 15 crore after 2 years.
15 crores PAT after 2 years? No, we are looking at a PAT of roughly 25 crores after 2 years.
But just now you said
FY28, I think you said 16 crore PAT in Madhur we are projecting, right? As per the PPT?
250, 10% of that 25 crores.
Yeah, so this year we are FY20 and we are planning to do 150 crores in Madhur.
Right, and 25 crores EBITDA in Madhur.
Okay. And next year we feel this 150 can become 250.
Right, yes.
I mean, right now we are doing 108, so we are expecting our scale to become 2.5 times. So that's a very big stretch. I mean, how do we plan
it's
to do this?
Not something which is unachievable or something that we have not done before. We have grown from 13 crores to 500 crores over the next 5-6 years. So if that's possible, Madhur going from 150 to 250 is definitely something that is achievable. And in terms of capacity, it is already there. The machineries are there, the market is there. It's just that that effort for marketing has to be put in, which we are doing. We have now a dedicated team looking after the marketing of Madhur products, and it's a huge market. I mean, the market is like completely humongous. I mean, we are catering to a very, very small segment. So, one vehicle is of Madhur confectionery is about 15 lakh rupees. So, if you look at, the market that we are catering to, we are very fragmented, and there's this huge opportunity across the country. You can send it wherever you want, because logistics is not a problem as far as confectionaries are concerned. So this can in fact be a 500 crore business over the next 3 to 4 years time, and that is what we internally target. But for the sake of propriety, it's better to be conservative. So 250-300 crores in Madhur should not be a problem at all.
No, we are just concerned about your such a big ambitious plan of doing 500 crore investment in this company with your today your total market cap itself is less than about 200 crore or I don't know.
320 crore.
320 crore.
Right.
And you want to do 500 crore expansion with your track record, I think, and what is the debt equity you plan to keep?
And also, I mean, what kind of revenue scale will be doing it? So 500 crore, I mean, we might be aiming for at least 1500 crores of revenue. How will we generate this kind of
definitely
demand?
I mean, see, by the time we get, start moving to that point where we are, shifting production to the new facility, we would have already be in the range of doing 1000 crore top line. So there will be challenges, which we will have to face once we start scaling up. So if we are not prepared for those challenges now.
So you bought this private land or is it a land from some authorities?
No, we are acquiring in West Bengal. Basically, there is no support from the government, from the previous government, there was no support. Now with the new government, maybe we'll get support in the land acquisition process as well. And we are in discussions with the MSME ministry over here. So they are also identifying some ways of helping us. All of that is in process. So as in, what development takes place, we'll keep updating.
But I was wondering, why did you buy some industrial estate where they could have allotted you the land and that transaction could have been smooth?
But there are no industrial estates like that in West Bengal.
But sir, this loans and advances is as on 31st March. So this decision of putting up this huge project of 500 crores was taken long back, let's say 7-8 months ago.
Yeah, it's been in the pipeline for in the thought process for a long time now. I mean, this is something that we have to constantly work on, because we don't want to get to a point where we caught on the wrong foot because our productions are not matching up to the demand. I mean, we face that a lot of times. This is a very volumetric product. I mean, your production takes a lot of space, because mostly what we are packing is air, and your pack sizes are, and if you're dealing in millions and millions of packets every day, the amount of space you required is huge. So if you do not have the right facility and the infrastructure. Going forward, as you scale up production, it would be a big bottleneck. So before we reach that point, you know, if we are not taking steps today, 2 years, 3 years down the line, we'll be in a, you know, in a, at a point where growth would not happen anymore. So it has to, you know, we have to start the process now so that by the time we reach 100 crore revenue every month, we should have the right facilities with us.
So this is going to be in Siliguri?
This will be in Siliguri.
Okay.
So Siliguri, in terms of location, is very convenient. It caters to some of our key markets. North Bengal, Northeast, and North Bihar, all three are, you know, some of our largest markets.
Do you think and, utilize this investment in next 3 years in terms
yes,
of land?
Yes. Next 2-3 years, and it will keep on happening. I mean, it will not. It's not something that's going to, you know, we'll be able to put a hard stop to it. It will probably spill over 4 to 5 years. So the idea is that, you know, we keep expanding the facility and shifting our existing production to the new location, but without disrupting any of our existing supply chains.
So you will discuss this proposal in your AGM now?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aditya Shaw from Happy to Invest. Please accept the prompt and proceed with your question.
Yeah, hi sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah, Aditya.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much, sir. Sir, if I understanding the business model correctly, you guys are in earlier, in way back in 2023-2024, mainly in a packet size chips like 5 rupees or 10 rupees. And over the years, you guys acquiring a Madhur and Angry. So more on a shifting like on a FMCG side, if I understanding correct. And we are competing some of the businesses like with ITC kind of businesses. Like FMCG more shifting on that side.
Yes, to an extent, right. I mean, we are migrating from being a pure snacking company to more of a, you know, a miniature version of a ITC or a similar company, because what we are basically trying to, you know, do is create a very robust distribution base, and using that distribution network to populate all kinds of, you know, categories in the FMCG segment that relate to ready to eat and ready to cook market. So it's going to be, you know, basically the way we look at it is that if you can bifurcate your market into 6 to 7 segments, and every segment does about 250 crores annually, then you have a clear target of reaching of 1500 to 2000 crore top line with a very comfortable EBITDA margin. And in the process, what you've created is a singular company with, you know, a very strong distribution reach in Eastern Indian markets, having a product portfolio which caters to all the segments in the RTE and RTC segments.
Sir, I just want to understand, is it sustainable, that business model, like competing with ITC like business and competing with like
ITC is a completely different scale. I mean, what we're trying to basically do is disrupt the local manufacturers. It's not that we're trying to compete with ITC or, you know, Bikaji or anybody right now. Because the numbers that we're talking about, if you put it in perspective, so we're becoming a very, very small version of an ITC or for that matter, you know. Even a local brand like Anmol or a Bisfarm does 2000 crore annual business in biscuits. We are telling, okay, we'll do only 250 crores in biscuits. We'll do 250 crores in prams, 250 crores in namkeen, 250 crores in noodles. So if you put everything together, then you're looking at a 2000 crore revenue. But individually, if you look at all of these segments, again, you're looking at, you know, something which is easily achievable And the only disruption that you're causing is in the local markets. So the local manufacturers get shifted out because you're giving better quality at more reasonable price to the distributors, and your distribution is making more cash flows dealing with you rather than the local manufacturers.
And sir, how much revenue contribution from the like earlier products, like 5 rupees, 10 rupees products? What is the total?
So that is still 5 rupees, 10 rupees happens to be a major stay even now. I mean, it's about 90-95% of our portfolio comes from there. Madhur has a different SKU composition, so it has a different revenue profile. But in Annapurna, we still have 5 rupee as the major contributor of our top line. But we'll add, in noodles, we are adding 10 rupee, 20, 40, all of those segments are getting added. So going forward, we'll have verticals in the other price points as well. But as of now, 5 rupees still is the major contributor.
Got it, sir. And sir, my second question is over the years, 4 to 5 years, we are still in a cash flow side is still negative, right? So sir, any kind of a cash flow side, we are still negative over the last 4 to 5 years.
Right. So that is primarily, the growth that has happened in the company has been it takes a lot of capital for you to grow your businesses aggressively. So we have chosen to have a very deep penetration, a big market share. And for that, we have incentivized our distributors by giving them credit over 90 days. Now we have reached a point where, we can dictate the credit terms. We can bring it down. We can start reducing the number of days of credit that we're giving to our distributors. So that process is still on, and the number of, the credit days is going to come down from 90 days to about 30 days over the next 2 years. So, that would also release a lot of cash back into the system. So all the negative cash flows which were accumulated over the years can get released back into the system once the distributor outstanding goes below. And also because we have all these, manufacturing facilities across locations. So our SKU, our raw material requirement also goes up considerably. We have to stock the same raw material, the same lamination in all our factories. So that also is not a very prudent way of managing your raw material stock. So again, that facility that I was talking about earlier, once we have that kind of facility, the working capital cycle is also going to improve considerably. So we'll see both the things happening. So the distributor outstanding is going to go down, as well as the raw material stock that we hold, that is also going to go down. So there will be a substantial amount of funds getting released back into the system, which will be utilized for further capex or for debt repayment.
So cash flow side, it might be positive from I think FY30, right? On the
right.
So yeah. And sir, I have some my questions, but I will connect with you guys offline. That will be very helpful.
Thanks. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Varun Singh from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yeah, Varun.
Yeah, hi Ritesh. So a couple of questions. First is on, I think you pointed out about choosing, aggressive growth by deploying capital. So, and also I think during the call you made market cap relevant commentary comparing our company with, other peers like Pratap Snacks, Gopal Snacks, etc. And in that context, I was just looking at all the companies and I could see, at the scale of 400-500 crore of top line, which is revenue, Pratap Snacks never had debtor days of more than, 8 to 10 days. Right. But when I look our case, I think we our debtor days has been constantly at a very, very higher level. Yeah, 50 days, 60 days, 70 days. So please help me understand the point that I am missing, given that both the companies operate at the popular price point, which is 5-10 rupees pack. And what explains this, you know, this huge differential in the debtor days itself? That's my first question.
So we are, you know, relatively new to the market. I mean, we were an unknown entity before 2020, and it took us a couple of years to even have our foot on the ground. So by the time, you know, all of these established players are already there in the market, the distribution is there in the market, especially Pratap and the others, they have a very strong Eastern India presence as well. So when we are competing with them, the challenge is, how do you create your own market? Because all the good distributors are already working with some company or the other. So the only way you can manage to kind of, you know, incentivize them and have them working with you is by giving them some kind of credit and comfort in terms of payment. Because you are a new entrant, they don't know how the market is going to react to your product, whether they're going to like it, what kind of rejections are going to be there, how, you know, how the company is going to behave with the distributors. So all of that takes time. So the first you know, couple of years, we were kind of, you know, being very conservative, and then later on we started giving out more credit, and we saw that, you know, that strategy worked, and we managed to wean away a lot of good distributors from established companies like Akash and Pratap, and a lot of other companies, distributor also started working with us, and that growth in penetration and sales happened. So it was a strategy that we had taken deliberately and with an intent to first create a presence in the market, and once the products are established and the market demand has been generated, then we can slowly start working on you know, giving terms which are more favorable to us.
No, no. I mean, if you look at from FY23 to FY26, yeah, right. So our data days has doubled. Right. So are we saying that we need to give even more credit to acquire even more business? And if the credit becomes the pound, yeah.
What has happened is now we have reached critical mass. So once you reach critical mass, then that requirement is not there anymore. And last couple of years was, you know, launches of all our categories happening simultaneously. So we were launching namkeen, we were launching noodles, we were launching cupcakes, we launched biscuits. So all of that was happening, you know, over the last couple of years. So now that phase is done. Now it's the consolidation phase. All of these products established, our market presence established, the company's, you know, brand pull is already there. So going forward,
so that's fine. That's fine, Rajesh. So I mean, in a steady state, how many days you think debtor days should look like at the end of FY27?
It should be in the range of 60 days by end of 27.
Still at 60 days, because none of the other snacks companies operate at such a high debtor days here. Everyone else is just eight days, 9 days, 10 days. That's why the price point where why we need to give so much high credit.
But we do not, we cannot change the business model overnight. See, we've been giving distributors a certain amount of credit. It's not going to be possible for them to pay up and, you know, start doing cash business day one. It's like telling them if you want, so there can be a reduction, a 30-day reduction over the next year or so is a very good reduction in terms of payment terms. And, you know, you can slowly bring it down to 30 days over the another year or so. And once you're in the 30 to 15 days range, I think that's comfortable enough for any company.
Sure. My second question is on the high degree of promoter pledge.
Right.
So, I mean, what's the objective? What are the timelines for reduction of the pledge? How should we look at this?
So, from the promoters have already started allocation point. Yeah. We have already, you know, brought down the pledge from a peak of 86% to now 70%, and the unpledging process would take another couple of months. So hopefully by the half year ending, we should have zero pledge in Annapurna. So that is a process which is also working simultaneously in the background. And
maximum understood. So,
September.
Understood. 8th. Understood. Sure. And my last question is regarding the need for such heavy investments. I think a previous participant has asked you for, you know, what is the need of that 500 crore capex ambition plan, etc. And you pointing out that we don't want to run out of production capacity compared to the demand situation which is out there. Yeah, so, I mean, how should we, as an investor, as a shareholder, how should we look at the company from the point of view of return on capital that we are generating on the existing business, and plus incrementally whatever the new business that we want to build? So please help us understand on the return on capital guidelines, guardrails. How are you thinking about it?
Sure. So what we have to understand is that this capex is not happening in like one shot. It is happening over a number of years. It will be spread over 4-5 years, but the facility would start operating say in 2 years time. It's not that everything has to happen, you know, in one shot. So, but definitely the capex is required, because we are very closely following what, you know, Balaji has done in Western India. So if you have a facility which basically integrates your entire production chain and your production and your supply chain, then you are looking at production costs which are a fraction of what any of the other companies achieve. And then that can be passed on to your consumers. You make products that are unbeatable in the market, and you make higher margins in the process as well. So, you know, this is something that we would love to be like a Balaji of Eastern India. So this is something that is playing at the back of our mind. And we want to replicate that business model, because we think it's something, you know, which is a very strong business model. And it gives you a defensive strategy against any kind of competition. So, in terms of revenue, we are looking at a 2000 crore revenue from that integrated facility, generating about 15% EBITDA. And, you know, if we can achieve those numbers, it is that your entire capex can be recovered over 1.5-2 years time. So having said that, it's not that, you know, the entire capex is required in one shot again, and that numbers are also not going to come in one shot. It is a process of growth. It will take about 3-5 years time, but that is something that we start to need working on right now if we want those numbers to come, you know, in the next 5 years time.
Thank you. Varun, I'll request to come back for a follow-up. Next question is from the line of Jash Burji from Jash Burji Investments. Kindly accept the prompt and go ahead with your question.
Hello, Radhesh sir.
Hi, Josh.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, hi. So my question is on the auditors. Are we going to be changing our auditors for ongoing?
Yeah, we now that we have migrated to the main board, we are in discussions with some of the larger audit firms. Maybe, you know, by the time of the AGM, we would have zeroed in on somebody, and the announcement would be made at the AGM.
Understood. Who will it be? Have we zeroed in on anyone?
We have a couple of names here. We have S. Jay Kishan, we have Singhi and Company. We are also talking to Grant Thornton, but one of these larger audit firms are going to take over.
Got it. And on the capex that we are announced on the con call, how will it be funded?
So we'll start with internal accruals for now, and some of maybe, you know, going forward, we if required, we would probably we can consider doing a debenture issue, or we can, you know, look at other modes of financing the acquisition, the capex through a QIP placement in future. But right now, I mean, it is something which is still at a very, very, you know, initial stage. We have still not defined the timeline of the capex requirement. We just have started doing the groundwork to have the project ready, but all of that is going to depend on a lot of other factors, you know, on the company's operation sides as well.
Okay, and the payback period you expect will be?
Payback period would be pretty quick. It's not going to take. Because with that integrated facility, you know, like I said, the numbers are going to be completely different from what we are looking at currently. So we'll have numbers which would reflect, you know, similar to a Balaji or a Haldiram type numbers with their integrated facilities.
So the land cost you mentioned is about 65 crores, right? 38 crores. And the machine cost?
See, this again, I mean, these are numbers and there'll be a detailed report coming in.
Yes.
I mean, so, you know, so depending on what all modules we are putting, what modules we don't want to do right now, we want to do it after 2 years, 3 years. So it's not something, you know, that's kind of happening now. So immediately next 2 years, we are just consolidating our manufacturing facilities, our existing ones. Madhur is getting ramped up. All of that is happening. This is something which has now taken precedence over others in the conference call, but it is not something which is, you know, top of our mind.
Sure. And the brand endorsement that we have paid for Saurav Ganguly.
Right, yes.
How is that going currently?
That's going very well. So one of the things that we have managed to do successfully with Saurav Ganguly's endorsement is that a lot of other local manufacturers who were copying our products, we've managed to, you know, stop a lot of counterfeiting that was happening locally. By having Saurav on the packets. So we have also created a clear brand identity for our company, and you know, the market is resonating very well with our initiative.
How much have we paid Saurav Ganguly?
Specific numbers, I think, you know,
rough ballpark.
It's what ballpark is like. It's a very reasonable number. It's like not even a percentage of anything.
Okay.
It's not something.
And the revenue that we have generated from the offsite brand.
So offsite was just launched, you know, 4 months back. We have already started generating a revenue of 2 crores per month from offsite products itself. This is going to go up to about, you know, in the range of anywhere between 5 to 10 crores. We should be doing over the next year or so. So and these are all 10 rupee plus packs that we are talking about.
Perfect.
In the offsite brand. But with Saurav Ganguly, we have Saurav Ganguly even on Annapurna packs. Even the 5 rupee packs carry Annapurna, Saurav Ganguly's image.
Alright. Perfect. All the best, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Josh.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dr. Purvin Randeria, individual investor. Kindly accept the prompt and go ahead with your question.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Actually, I have one retail investment from last 2-3 years, and if you see the market capital of the company now, mostly around 300 crore approximate, and trades at around 10-11 PE. What management sees about it? I mean, maximum of the other companies trade around 30-50 PE. Management actually looking to it or squeezing out the liquidity or something like that? Because I think Ritesh's wife bought, I think, 1 lakh share a few months back. Stock not able to hit the upper circuit because current volume, I'm talking about only as an investor, not talking about the free cash flows and other things that I already heard from the other participants. I'm talking about as a pure investor. I'm invested from last 2-3 years, right? As an investor, we looking for a long-term bond with the company, right? For 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, years down the line. Now I already heard what's going on for next 2-3 years, right? But just wanted to know how management thinking about the market capital of the company. Was something with revenue around 500 crore, the company trades at 300 crores. I mean, right. So what you are looking at, have you reached any HNI investor or mutual fund or something? That your story going to unleash to the other investor as well? Company doing currently very good, 30% growing. Everything looks good on the paper, but market not realizing it. Something what we are as an investor missing on it, that it trades at 11 PE is quite ridiculous, sorry for my words, but it's very low PE, right?
So, Doctor, basically, what this initiative that we have taken today, this conference call, this is the first time for us. I mean, this is something that we should have done earlier. Even when we were on the SME platform, we should have done this. But, now we have realized that having more interaction with the investing community and answering their, queries, because being an SME company, a lot of people do not discover you. But now that we have migrated to the main board, we want to be discovered. We want our story to be heard. We want people to come up with their queries and, address them. So the process has now been started. We'll be talking to a lot of other investors also, a lot of, senior investors and HNI family offices. So we'll now directly reach out to them, with what we are doing, explain to them the opportunity and everything. So hopefully, all these initiatives will result in some kind of positivity for the market and for the market cap.
What individual you think about the exit? I mean, 30-40 fee, actually you get kind of growth you are showing in the company, 30% plus growing. I mean, PEG ratio is very low. So what do you expect from market to see?
Reasonable P for any company should be in the range of 30-40. A company which is growing at 30%, 40% should have that kind of, a multiple.
Yeah.
But definitely, I mean, the market has its own, mind. So unless we can address all the queries of the market and, the thought processes can align.
Thank you. We'll take text questions. First text question is from Ram Pandey from A3 Capital Services Limited. What is debt as on today? Why presentation not uploaded in exchange? Which you presenting? Promoter holdings 87.4% pledge. When it will unpledge? As the company make brand ambassador Saurav Ganguly to do company doing advertisements in TV or digital media, planned visit if possible, arrange for investors.
Okay, so investors planned visit will organize. I mean, we had done that before. We are we can plan that again, sometimes next month. And Saurav Ganguly's digital media presence is already there. TV advertisement we are not too keen on, because that is a high cost, low impact segment as of now. The promoter's pledge has already been reduced from 87% to 70%. It is a plan to bring it down to zero by end of September this year. And there was one more thing in the query.
So promoter holdings to 87.4% pledge.
You got to, I would guess that pledge is getting reduced to zero. Before that, there was one more point.
What is debt as on today, and why the presentation was not uploaded on the exchange?
The presentation, I think, is uploaded on the platform. I'll just check back with the company secretary if that was done or not. And the current debt in the company stands at about 180 crores.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Gursidak Singh from Prudent Equity. What is the current capacity utilization for all of the facilities of the company?
So on the shift basis, most of our facilities are 100% occupied on a single shift basis. Asansol and Siliguri are occupied 100% on a double shift basis. We are going to start their third shift operations. So a detailed capacity, if you look at from a pure numerical point of view, we are about 45% capacity utilization. And we have the potential to, with the same facilities itself, we can potentially do twice the revenue that we're doing right now. But then there are other factors which need to be considered. Storage space is an important consideration for both raw material and finished goods. So it doesn't work, you know, in pure mathematical ways. But just to answer the question, we are at about 45% capacity utilization.
Thank you. Next question is from Akshay Gupta from Gupta Investments.
Right.
Just one question regarding the operating cash flow. I understand that we are growing aggressively, but if we want the market to recognize our true value, we have to generate positive cash flow. By when can we expect to generate positive cash flow from operations? Not talking about free cash flow.
This financial year end, we should have a positive cash operating cash flow for sure, given the steps that we have taken in order to address that.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shriram Bagla, Chairman and Managing Director, for closing.
Hi, thank you everybody for giving us the opportunity to address all the investor queries. Whatever we could do best for the company, we have done so far. And over the period, we would also like to deliver and address all the queries as been discussed in this con call. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Annapurna Swadishta Limited, that concludes today's session. Thank you for your participation. You may click on the exit meeting to disconnect. Thank you.